Invite the children forward. Come sit with me on this liberty. Come on and sit with me on this step right here. And any of our younger choir members who might want to come in solidarity, if possible. Betsy, that's up there, and you can make that decision. Liberty, it's always good to have company, isn't it? Thanks for coming forward. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah? So it's spring break, isn't it? Are you excited about that? Yeah? Any other emotions going on in your world right now?
No,
none. I bet you out there are some folks who are really excited for spring break. There might be some folks who are anxious, too. Were you nervous about coming down and sitting with me?
No.
Oh, good. Well, that's the fun thing, is we're not anxious about this space, are we? Because this is home, and church is home, right?
Yeah.
It's our family together. Even when we can't be here, we know that church is home, right? Even when we go and do our daily things. You know what? We have a special guest. Look behind you. Her name is Julia Gatta. She was one of my teachers when I went to school to be a priest. And you know what she did? She helped remind me how to pray. And she said, you know what? No matter where you are, if you're excited, if you're nervous, if you have lots of words, or if you have no words at all, if you feel alone or too many people around you, God is there with you. And you can always pray to God, can't you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite prayer? Do you have a favorite one?
No,
not yet. Okay. It'll come to you. But do you pray? You pray every before meals and at church. Do you guys do bedtime prayers too? And talk about who to pray for at the end of the day? Yeah, good job. Our story today talks about a woman who came to a well all by herself. She felt very alone because she wasn't part of the bigger community. But you know, who was there at that well?
God
was there with her. Jesus showed up right there, and he talked with her, and he spent time with her. And he said, even though you might have felt alone, you have something deeper and wiser that will be with you. So as we head into moms, dads, and everyone else's 2 weeks of extended spring break and beyond, know that we can all pray to God in any way, shape, or form. How else can we show that we love each other when we might be a little anxious? What can we do, Liberty? You can hug them, hug your parents. You can be kind, right? Everybody take a deep breath, be kind. It's okay to be honest about how you feel, and then be creative. We have new and different time on our hands, and we can spend our time in creative ways, showing that God loves each and every one of us. Liberty, thanks for coming up and sitting here so I didn't feel alone. And showing me and reminding me that God is present in each and every one of us. Head to Children's Chapel with Mr. Steve and Miss Megan, and we'll see you at the Peace.
Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are all feeling, are we not, a measure of anxiety and uncertainty, fear even, as we await the continued unfolding of the COVID-19 pandemic. We worry for ourselves and our loved ones, and our concerns are at one and the same time medical, social, and economic. Underneath today's readings lie a different life and death anxiety, the issue of water and its availability. For nearly all of the world in the past, and still in much of the world today. Water is and has been a precious commodity, often obtained by laborious digging for natural springs. In the reading today from the book of Exodus, the Hebrews are making their way across a barren wilderness en route to the promised land, but there is no water, and they are desperately thirsty. They complain against God and his emissary, Moses. It would have been better to live in slavery in Egypt, they say, than to die of thirst in this desert. Then in the gospel, a woman at a well says that this well was passed down from Jacob, one of the great patriarchs of Israel. Wells, like their founders, had a long and honored lineage. They were vital for both human beings and their livestock. It was a matter of life and death for them. In the scene at the well in the gospel, several social oddities emerge in the course of the story. For one thing, the Samaritan woman comes to draw water at high noon, an hour in which she was unlikely to meet the other women of the town. Women usually came in the early hours of the morning or near sunset when it was cooler to perform this chore. But the Samaritan woman, as we later find out, is in a shamed social position and evidently doesn't want to meet anyone. But she ends up meeting Jesus, and that encounter changes everything for her. When the disciples return to Jesus, they're shocked to find him speaking in a public place with a woman who was neither his mother nor his sister, but a total stranger. Such conversation between men and women was socially taboo. Earlier, the unnamed woman herself expresses surprise that Jesus would talk with her. But in this case, it's not so much because she's female, but because Jesus is a Jew and she's a Samaritan, and relations between the two groups were so hostile that they went out of their way to avoid even meeting one another. But sharing a common drinking vessel? Before any of this happens, however, Jesus takes the lead. He approaches this damaged woman with exquisite tact by putting himself in the position of the needy one. He is thirsty. Would she be so kind as to give him a drink from the well? As he moves the conversation along, Jesus eventually touches upon the touchy subject of her domestic arrangements. He gradually extracts her confession that her life has been littered with one unsuccessful love affair after another. How does Jesus respond to this admission? With shock or scorn? Not at all. He goes right to the heart of the matter. He asks her if she wouldn't like some living water. Wouldn't she like to tap into that wellspring of life that would finally open up to real joy? Here is a woman, after all, courageous enough to ignore all the damning condemnations her neighbors would heap upon her. Only her passionate quest has failed. Her life is a mess, strewn with the wreckage of one disastrous relationship after another. What was she looking for? Freedom? Passionate, enduring love? A love that could know all the details of her life, character, and personality, and cherish every bit of it? She can have it all. She just has to stop looking for it in the wrong places. If you knew who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," Jesus tells her, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The church places before our meditation today the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus, the living water, before we encounter the same living Christ at the baptismal waters of the great vigil of Easter. All of Lent is preparation for Easter, and Easter always entails either baptism or the renewal of baptism. Lent is a time for digging deeply into our hearts. Periods of quiet and undefended reflection, such as some of us experienced at yesterday's quiet day, are important because in them we are more open to letting God reveal us to ourselves. Like the Samaritan woman, she lets Jesus probe. She lets him speak the truth about her life, and she finds it strangely refreshing. He has touched some very tender places in her soul, areas of sin and shame and hurt. Like Moses hitting the rock in the wilderness and having it burst with water, surprising wellsprings can issue from our dry, hard places. Jesus struck what might at first have seemed like a most unpromising, unyielding spot in this woman's soul. Yet it gave way. There is a lesson for us here, one full of hope. It suggests that if we examine our most colossal failures, our worst sins, our biggest dead ends that we ever pursued, they can tell us something about our desire, our capacity for passion. Even if we, like the Samaritan woman, looked for freedom or love, esteem or security in all the wrong places, our very histories witness to our infinite longing. And that is raw material God can work with. For only the infinite God can satisfy the infinite thirst of our souls. Jesus, the living water, is available for the asking.